When we booked Holly Holman, General Counsel at the Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty, on the show last week, we had no idea that the Supreme Court would issue a ruling on one of the cases we were planning to talk about. So I'm doubly pleased to be able to welcome Holly back to State of Belief Radio. Holly, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Let's start with the specific Holt versus Hobbs case. What was the issue and what was the decision?
You're right. That was big news. And the big news is not just that the court decided the case, but they did so in a unanimous opinion. This is a case about a prisoner's right to exercise their religious freedom despite being incarcerated. So we have a federal law, the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act, to ensure some level of religious freedom even in prison. And in this case, the challenge was whether or not Arkansas's no beards policy in their prison was acceptable under that federal statute. And the Supreme Court held that it was not. They decided for the prisoner. He's a Muslim prisoner who wanted to grow a beard as part of his religious mandates and expression and wanted to just have a quarter-inch beard, but Arkansas had a policy that said no beards. And he challenged that under this statute and was able to succeed because the state was not able to say that that regulation, that burden on religion, was justified by the state's interest.
I also think about the cases involving Sikhs, and particularly Sikhs that are in the military or want to be on a police force.
Sure.
Does this apply to them, or is that a different burden?
The analysis is spot on, and we should ask ourselves about government regulations is what purpose do they serve? What are they for? Because the majority passes regulations and rules maybe to serve some interest, and it could be safety, or in the case of the prisons, that was, yeah, they don't want people having long beards that you could hide weapons in, and
right.
Or people changing their appearance and escaping. So there can be state interests involved, but as a country that prides itself on religious liberty for all, we have to make sure that those regulations are narrowly tailored to serve those interests so that you don't categorically prevent Sikhs from serving in the military, for example, or categorically basically deprive prisoners of any way to express their religion.
What are the other cases that are coming before the Supreme Court this session that are of interest to you from a religious freedom perspective?
There's one case that will be argued next month, EEOC versus Abercrombie and Fitch. And it, again, is more on the free exercise side, kind of like this Holt v. Hobbs, which is different from what we were focused on last term when we had the legislative prayer case and we had a Hobby Lobby case. Those are cases really dealing more with the Establishment Clause. But in EEOC versus Abercrombie, it's a case under Title VII, the important employment law act that protects against illegal discrimination, a discrimination based on race and gender and religion. And it's a religion case where a retailer had a certain policy about what their employees could wear that pretty much excluded those people of religions that needed to wear some kind of head covering, in this case, a Muslim woman. So it'll be very interesting. The court will be looking at what exactly is required by Title VII for employers, and particularly those employers who are kind of screening people based upon their uniform policy. Abercrombie's known for having a certain look. And the question is, you know, can you justify that look if what you're doing is, again, categorically leaving out people who are just trying to exercise their religion?
Holly, you all are smart people at the Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty. What cases that are already on the table, what cases are you all most focused on this term?
We're very interested in this EEOC versus Abercrombie case. I don't think the court's dealt with a religion case under Title VII in decades, so that's going to be an important case. Our perspective is one that supports religious freedom for all, and as we know, that's a different struggle for minority religions. And so we're very interested in how the court handles that and how the public responds and how we can use that case to help educate people about the importance in protecting religious freedom and putting yourself in someone else's shoes.
Is there anything else in the flow of things this year that we should be looking at on religious liberty?
No, I think we'll see a decision in a case called Reed versus Town of Gilbert that was recently argued, and it has to do, a pastor brought it, it's about church signs, but it really is just a free speech case. But what it reminds us is that there are times that religious people and religious claims look like everyone else, and there are other times when we have to look at religion specifically, where religion has to be protected in specific ways, and religious issues come up that really are different from other aspects of our life. And it's interesting and helpful that our Constitution treats religion in a special way. We hope that it always does.
Holly, would you talk briefly about the work of the Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty more generally, and then tell our listeners how they can stay informed on your research and your actions?
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you for doing that. And the good news is that we know that there is a strong history of religious people, and Baptists in a particular way, standing up for religious freedom, not just for themselves, but for all. And that goes back to our founding stories. I just started teaching a law school class. We were looking at the founders' perspective and how we got to Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The First Amendment, you know, came out of a bad experience of where church and state were combined and the kind of persecution that happened in that way. So Baptists and other dissenters fought for that freedom so that they could freely exercise their religion, not be taxed to support another church, not be harmed because of their beliefs. And so the work of the Baptist Joint Committee really comes out of that history and the deep theological idea that everyone is created with a free conscience to follow the dictates of their religion as they see fit, and that the government really has very limited role in matters of religion. So what we try to do at the Baptist Joint Committee is intervene in these cases where we can be helpful to try to support religious liberty for all, to sometimes bring our historical story to the court's attention where that's part of what a case needs in order to have a better understanding of the larger consequences of these fights that make their way up to the Supreme Court. We try to do a lot of education where we have student groups that come to our offices or that we speak to, and we travel around, staff travels around to talk to groups, just to teach them some of the basics of religious liberty, as well as how to understand these court cases and how basically to be good citizens for religious liberty. Yeah. Our website, bjconline.org, has a lot of good resources. We've got a blogger who every day kind of highlights some religious liberty story and gives us kind of food for thought, and sometimes, you know, it can make you angry, but other times make you proud, but kind of help you stay informed so that you can be a voice for religious liberty in your community. And it requires a lot of attention and understanding, as well as empathy for different people's perspective, really, to get people to think about these issues thoughtfully and to make good decisions. So we appreciate the chance to talk about our work and to be influential where we can, whether it's in a state legislature or in Congress or intervening in these court cases or just doing the kind of education work that this program's allowing us to do right now.
Do the website one more time.
It's bjconline.org. That stands for Baptist Joint Committee Online.org. And there are, that's a good way to kind of keep up with cases and, as I said, a daily blog. We still produce a monthly magazine that's also put online. So that's where you'll see analysis columns that we write about upcoming cases or court decisions. Without going so deep, you know, too deep to lose you, we really try to appeal to a broad audience. So for anyone who wants to know just a little, you know, a little bit more, have a little deeper understanding, not just about the law, about religious liberty, but why you should care, why religious people should care, and as well as those who others who want to prevent government from infringing or unnecessarily being involved in religion. So I think your listeners will find some good resources there, and they should feel free to contact us if they have any questions or we can assist them.
Holly Holman is General Counsel at the Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty. The committee's mission is to further the Baptist heritage that champions the principle that religion must be freely exercised, neither advanced nor inhibited by the government. These people do great work. And as you've probably discerned by now, Holly is a good friend, as are colleagues that I have in that office. Holly, it's great to talk with you again. Thanks, as always, for being with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.